Here we are.
Well, many of us have done weekend or say week-long trips in the wilderness out our back door here in northeastern Minnesota. But Gary Fidler of Hermantown just got back from a seven-month trip in the Boundary Waters. Gary and his wife, Dawn LaPointe, run a photography business called Radiant Spirit Gallery. And Dawn herself fulfilled a rather vital role, support role for Gary on his adventure. And the two of them are joining us now by phone to tell us about this epic wilderness stay and its connection with their photography. Gary and Dawn, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Hello.
Thank you, Dick.
I understand you quit your job as a Cirrus airplane mechanic to do this trip. How did that come about?
Well, I just decided that the life experience of a trip like this was more important than my job. And now I have memories that will and experiences that will last my lifetime. So.
And did you have any arguments with Dawn about whether to do this?
No, she pretty much, on our first date 5 years ago, we pretty much kind of talked over it. So everything was good.
Well, on your first date?
First date.
All right, so you got that straight right away.
Yep.
And how about folks at work? How did they react to your idea?
Oh, well, they were acceptable of it. I mean, I'll probably be going back to work eventually. So.
Yeah, I suppose this wasn't a lifetime quit, but it was an important thing for you to do for yourself. And I know you had a medical issue about 10 years ago that may have contributed somewhat to your decision to take this chance on life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, in 2004, I had a brain aneurysm called an AVM, which pretty much paralyzed my right side and tilted my vision and slurred my speech and all that. And then the wilderness kind of provided inspiration for me to want to get back there, you know, in a very determined way. So,
before you took this trip, you did other wilderness trips too that maybe contributed to you recovering your health.
Yes, I took a 6-week trip also in 2009. When I took the when I had the aneurysm, I took a 1-week trip afterwards as a celebration of life.
Did you recover the paralysis and speech issues and so on?
Yeah, it took about 3 months, and now I'm 99% recovered, but it's kind of plateaued out there. But I'm the only one that notices it.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, let's talk a little bit about the trip. This is the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, which really created the Boundary Waters Canoe Area. Was that a significant factor in the timing of the trip for you?
No, the timing is more when I was ready to go.
How did you choose the route you were going to take, and when did you start, and so on? Take us a little bit into that.
I didn't choose the route in advance. I just decided to go by rhythms of nature, mostly influenced by weather. And then whatever looked interesting on the map was where I would go. So it started at Fall Lake near Ely, and then I went mostly in the southern half of Quetico Provincial Park.
This was a four-season trip, meaning that you spent some winter time in there.
Oh, yeah.
When did you start? When did you start this trip?
It started March 20th, the first day of spring. It was some 20 below zero night
yeah.
in there. Yes, there was like 3 feet of snow in the woods, and the ice conditions on the lake were kind of questionable, so I wasn't able to travel around as much as I wanted to.
How did you travel?
By snowshoe, mostly, and then tried to stay on land or walk close to shore. It was, the ice had some weird layers. There was like 2 feet of ice.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a layer of water and then a layer of ice on top of that. And where I was located, there was like an open lead. Ice was only 3 inches or 3 inches thick there, so that kind of spooked me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you set up a sort of a base camp there then for this winter portion of the trip?
Yes, I did. I had a canvas wall tent with a wood stove in it, so I stay nice and warm.
And how did you get firewood?
I went back in the woods, and there were some large ash trees that were fell down back there. So I just cut them up and split them and run them through my wood stove.
Where was exactly this first campsite?
It was on, I think it's called Mile Island on Fall Lake.
And did you see anybody else in there while on this part of the trip?
Yeah, there were people out skiing and dog sledding and things like that.
And then obviously your trip extended because we're talking about a 7-month trip. So at some point the ice went out. What did you do? How did that change your trip?
Well, I was very eager to get started. So as soon as the ice went out, I kind of hung around Fall Lake a little while until I got resupplied in the gear swap. I had to swap out my winter gear for summer gear. And then my wife came up, and we had spent the weekend together and get resupplied. And off I went into Boundary Waters, Quetico.
Okay, Don, let's bring you in here a little bit. How Gary just mentioned that you came in and brought him supplies. Now, how did you support his effort?
About every 6 or 7 weeks, we'd agree to meet at a certain location. So I'd bring my canoe and camping gear, and then about 140 pounds of food, but split into 2 food packs for him. Bring that and along with any seasonal or other gear that we needed to swap out. So I'd go and meet him out in the wilderness, so he didn't have to come out. And then we'd do our gear swap, and his eyes would light up when he'd see these 2 heavy food bags coming, and and then we'd enjoy a little bit of time together in the wilderness.
And Gary, how was your diet in there?
I lost 25 pounds, so I was obviously expending a lot more calories than I could take in.
Yeah, well, that was over the course of the entire trip?
No, I lost 25 pounds by midsummer, but
right
then,
away.
Then I kind of gained a little bit back. I'm still working on regaining my weight now.
He seems to be enjoying that part.
I bet he is, yes. Well, did you supplement your diet at all with fish, for example?
I only ate maybe 10 fish. I mean, the fishing was easy enough to troll on the shore and catch stuff, but I didn't feel like dealing with the mess and the hassle of it.
Sure.
My fishing gear was more of a backup plan in case some bears took my food or something, you know.
You know, I understand you paddled some 800 miles and carried your hundreds of pounds of gear over, I've got it written down here, 178 miles of back and forth over portages.
Yeah.
What would you say were some of the biggest challenges you faced in this journey?
Well, probably the bugs were had the most impact in June and July. Otherwise, I could have probably taken another quite a few more photos. And then, of course, the 13 trips on each portage, they were the biggest challenges that I had. Everything else was pretty much expected because over the years I've pretty much experienced one thing or another. So.
How about being alone for such a long time?
My personality is such that does not bother me at all.
It's an important thing to you, it sounds like, to me.
Yes.
And I guess that segues into, I gather, some of that solitude experience must have been some of the best times for you. But what would you say were some of the best or most important and enjoyable parts of the trip?
Well, anytime I took a great photo, and of course I like the quiet solitude of the trip, and then I'm enjoying exploring my writing, my creative writing side of myself too. So, and then just being out there with no schedules, that was probably the most enjoyable part of it.
How about the wilderness itself? You've done a lot of shorter wilderness trips. Did you learn anything particular about the wilderness that you think isn't possible through these shorter trips?
No, I think a lot of people take 1 or 2 week trips. And I believe that over the years, if you go at different times, different seasons, you can experience as much as I did on this longer trip. It's just that it would take you longer.
But it's a little different. I mean, you have a much different appreciation for it, I would assume, when you've been there for week upon week.
You acclimate to the rhythms of nature, and nature kind of dictates what you do as far as where you travel and your enjoyment of it.
One little logistical thing I'm wondering about. Boundary Waters and Quetico permits. What in the world did you do with to solve that issue?
Well, the Boundary Waters and Quetico, you can travel back and forth between without getting a new permit. And I had all the correct permits for the Quetico part. And then the Boundary Waters, as long as I entered and stayed in, I didn't need to get a new permit.
Okay, and when you started, there were no permit at all required at the beginning. Am I right about that?
Well, there was a self-issue.
Oh, yeah. But you didn't have any trouble getting a permit for as many days, as, you know, months at a time.
No, because I spent 80% of my time in Quetico when I had everything lined up with them.
Oh, you did? Okay. And you mentioned it was the southern part of the Quetico you were in?
Yeah, mostly the southern part.
Let me remind our listeners that we are speaking with Gary Fidler and his wife, Dawn LaPointe, who run a photography business called Radiant Spirit Gallery. They're both from Hermantown, and we're talking about Gary's experience having just returned from a 7-month-long trip in the Boundary Waters. Now, Dawn and Gary, let's talk about this photography business you've got. I know you took a lot of pictures on the trip. I wonder if the two of you would tell us about how what your plans are for all these photographs and videos and sound recordings.
Yes, as you can imagine, Gary has a ton of data that he captured digitally through photos and videos and his audio recordings. And he's been eagerly processing them at the computer, and we've been uploading them to our website, radiantspiritgallery.com, sharing some on Facebook. We've started posting some of our videos, video excerpts on YouTube, and we plan to do some special exhibits. He has some magazine articles in the works, and he'll be doing some photo essays, videos, books. And we would also enjoy doing public outreach through presentations to groups.
What did you learn about being Gary's wife?
It's been an adventure since we first met. When we first met, we realized we had so many things in common and really enjoyed one another's companionship. And one thing that I had wanted to do since moving to Minnesota was to check out the Boundary Waters. I had never been there, but didn't know anyone well-versed in it that I could go with. And then when I met Gary, he ended up mentoring me and kind of showing me the ropes out there. So we really enjoy the wilderness experience together, and he's also mentored me in photography. So we share a lot of common interests together.
And you yourself are a wilderness photographer. In fact, you've just been honored with a selection of one of your photographs. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about that?
Yes, it's a photograph called The Sunset Paddle, and it was juried into the special Wilderness Forever exhibit at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History. The exhibit just started in September and runs for about the next 9 to 12 months down in Washington, D.C.
And that's sort of to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act?
Yes, it is. There were about 5,500 entries to the photo contest, people submitting their photos for consideration for the exhibit. And then they chose 50 photos to become part of the exhibit. All of the photos there are depicting some aspect of the federally protected wilderness lands.
Are you and Gary going to have a chance to go see that exhibit?
Yes, now that Gary's home, we're going to plan a trip so we can go enjoy the exhibit together.
All right. Well, you've got some, I don't know if you know Dave and Amy Freeman, but they're paddling right now, just about approaching Washington, D.C. To help call attention to the need for wilderness. So maybe you can say hello to them when you get out there.
Yes, definitely. In fact, I had the privilege of meeting them at the Wilderness Conference that was held here in Duluth a couple months ago.
Oh, you did? Good.
Yes.
Oh, I also wanted to ask you, I think you've got some local appearances scheduled, too. I'll give you a chance to talk a little bit about that.
Well, we're going to be at the Festival of Trees for a poster signing. That's at the deck on November 22nd, 23rd.
Okay, right before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Okay.
And also we got a meet and greet at Duluth Pack on December 13th.
And the Festival of Trees event, it's a huge arts and crafts festival, and we'll actually have a really large booth with our framed and canvas gallery wrapped photos and our new posters available, really cool Christmas cards. And it's, if you have holiday shopping to do, that's the place to go.
Sounds great. Well, I know you can do holiday shopping on your website, too. And let me be sure to get to that. If I forget to get back to that, you remind me. But
sure.
I just want to direct another question at Gary that I think everybody out there would be interested in is, what's it been like coming back to civilization after being sort of deprived of all the gizmos and gimmicks of civilization for so long?
I wouldn't really consider it deprived. I consider it an enjoyment to escape all that stuff.
Exactly.
But the acclimation's been a little stressful to adjust with our fast-paced society. And, you know, in the wilderness, you kind of move to the rhythms of nature. So,
what would be a typical day, let's say, after the bugs calm down?
Well, I would get up before sunrise and take some pictures, and then if I decided that it was going to be a really nice day, then I would head out in the canoe and be out for a long time. That's where I ran into not eating enough food, because I would not eat breakfast or whatever. So, and then I would canoe around, paddle around all day. And then in the evening, hopefully if the bugs weren't out, then I would take some more pictures. The northern lights came out in the evening. I'd be out in the evening shooting pictures there also.
All right, and I know you've got a lot of photos up on your blog and your website, and I wonder if you could just tell us where that is located on the web. Just repeat it again. I know you mentioned once earlier, but Dawn.
Yes, sure. Our website is www.radiantspiritgallery.com.
And is there a blog link there, or is that?
We don't have a blog link yet.
But okay.
We hope to be starting one. We do have a Facebook page and a YouTube channel under the Radiant Spirit Gallery name also.
All right. So there's plenty of information out there for folks who want to follow up on this. And I want to ask you if there's anything more either of you would like to add that you'd like our listeners to know about what we've talked about.
Yeah, just tell your listeners to check back to our website and stuff frequently, because like I say, I got 40,000 pictures and it's going to take a while to upload and process those.
Well, I'm sure we're going to hear and see more from you as we go along, and maybe we'll have you back after we've had a chance to see some of those things appear on your website. I want to thank Gary Fidler and Dawn LaPointe for sharing this incredible 7-month trip in the Boundary Waters that Gary made with Dawn's support. And I wish you both all the best of luck in the future, and thank you so much for sharing your trip with us.
We're hoping that when people see our wilderness photography and video footage, that they're going to be inspired to explore the wilderness themselves, or at least get outside and explore nature and learn about these incredible plants and wildlife and scenery that is practically on our back door in northern Minnesota, and understand the importance of protecting those wild places and the value that it has in our ecological system.